Arts Connection, the intersection of faith and the arts in Canadian culture. With your host, Robert White. Now, here's Robert.
Welcome to Arts Connection. Jazz pianist, composer, songwriter, arranger, words which define but can't begin to describe the virtuosity of Mike Janson. Mike Janson's latest project, which was recorded with the Mike Janson Trio, takes its inspiration from the metronome that he used to use when he was learning how to play piano. Well, Mike's on the phone with us tonight to talk about Metronome, his new CD. But before we get to the interview tonight, let's listen to Sunshine Coast from the Metronome CD, which is the latest from the Mike Janson Trio. Mike Janson. Good evening, Mike.
Hey, good evening, Robert.
We had a chance to talk a little bit before Christmas, but for listeners who might not have had a chance to hear that interview, let's get back to a little bit of background on you. When did your interest in music start?
Well, I started picking up a violin at age 4, and I think I was pretty horrible, but right from an early age, I sort of liked music a lot, and in grade 3, I had a chance to choose my own instrument. My parents let me choose piano, and somehow I thought, you know, maybe I could be the next Michael W. Smith or something, and started working hard at it, and didn't practice that terribly much growing up. You know, did a lot of sort of fooling around at the piano, and when I got out of school, I decided to go into music, and the rest is history.
Where did the interest in jazz come from? Like going from Micah W. Smith to jazz, like where did the jazz start in there?
Well, funny story, you know, because I started with violin, when I got to grade 7, my band teacher, you know, brought me into his office and said, you know, because you play violin, that's a stringed instrument, so would you be open to playing the double bass, which also has 4 strings, but, you know, is about 10 times the size. So I had to stand on a milk crate just to reach the thing. And and so I started playing in some jazz bands, and that was in junior high, and that moved into high school. And then, you know, even in high school, we went to some jazz festivals, and I just absolutely loved the notes I was hearing at the festivals, but I didn't have a clue about how people did that. I always thought it was just you either had it or you didn't, and you couldn't actually learn it. But, you know, as I got older, I realized, well, actually, there's a lot of learning and studying and listening that you can do to sort of pick up that whole thing.
Well, was there a particular style of jazz that was particularly attractive to you?
I think probably in high school it would have been more, there was a band called Manteca that was based out of Toronto. Going to university, you know, Oscar Peterson, so that swinging bluesy jazz. And, you know, recently, I mean, even a band like Snarky Puppy that has a good groove to it, great melodies. My background, you know, in classical, but also in you know, pop rock and also in jazz. So I'm sort of all messed up. So I've probably listened to almost every style over the years.
I think that actually comes through in Metronome, because you've got a number of different stylings coming through. Has there been a particular artist or artists that have really kind of influenced you?
Yeah, I mean, I think on the Metronome album, there's a few different ones. There's a band called The Bad Plus. That's sort of like a pop, rock, jazz, classical, all those different styles infused into one. I've been listening to some of their stuff. Also, there's a guy named Brad Meldow, who's a great piano player based out of New York. Wonderful player and composer. And Canada also, we have a really awesome guy named David Braid, who has written some beautiful pieces. And so before writing this album, he was another guy that I was listening to, both for my Christmas album, but also for, you know, a little bit of this one too.
When you're looking back on it, do you ever go back to any of the classical, classical, I mean, in terms of the jazz standards, you know, like Dave Brubeck and some of the people in there?
Yeah, I have a bunch of, you know, guys I love. Like, you know, obviously there's Dave Brubeck. There's a guy I love to see in New York called Bill Charlap. He's sort of like he's probably in his 50s right now, but he's like a just fantastic swinging old school player. And I used to, even in university, I used to listen a lot to Ray Brown Trio, which was with Benny Green. And I'd go down there, you know, almost every night when he was in town to catch it, because he just had that great old school Oscar swinging thing going on. So, yeah, that was also definitely those are big influences too.
Now, have there been any jazz Christians who are into jazz as well?
You know, there's a ton of them. You don't always maybe know it, or it may not be an obvious thing. I know a lot of even, you know, the artists here in Toronto that are great. Some, you know, someone like Lila Bialy. Her and there's many others. I mean, I think there's John Petitucci in New York, and there's just so many names. I mean, I couldn't do justice to the list. But because in jazz it's instrumental, you may not always know where people are coming from or what their, you know, background is. But I think, you know, that obviously gospel and, just that whole background is obviously really associated with jazz pretty closely.
Mm-hmm. I want to explore that whole aspect of the lack of lyrics in jazz in a few moments and that. But I just want to explore one thing. You've done a lot of things. Like you've done songwriting, you've written scores, you've done arranging. You did the arranging for Steve Bell's Symphony Sessions. Is there any one aspect that you prefer to the other?
You know, not really. I like to move it around a bit, especially as I get older. I can't always take sitting at the computer desk for, you know, 14 hours straight. I like them all for different reasons. Arranging is great, and composing, because you can sit at home and my little 3-year-old can run around the house. I can watch her and listen to her, and I get to be, you know, instead of traveling, I get to be home. And I also get to, you know, write out notes for an orchestra and get to hear that, and that's just a phenomenal experience. But then there's also what I love about playing with the trio you know, be able to perform a lot is just being able to travel, meet people, get out of my own space, my own headspace, and everything else, and connect with people and allow the music to connect directly with people too. So I think all of them have their seasons for me. Songwriting too. I just finished an instrumental album, and right away I'm starting now to think about different songs I could write with lyrics and stuff. So I think for me it tends to go in stages.
Great. Well, what I want to do is I want to take a quick break, and after the break, we'll be right back with our guest, pianist Mike Jansen. I'm your host, Robert White, and you're listening to Arts Connection on Faith FM. Back to Arts Connection. You've been listening to Metronome, the title track from the latest CD by the Mike Jansen Trio. I'm your host, Robert White, and we're going to continue our conversation with Mike. And Mike, I can only play a short portion of Metronome, which is, it seems like an incredibly complex piece to play. Like, how did you pull all of those rhythms and time signatures and everything together?
Well, I love, first of all, that you played it. That's great. I didn't know which tune you were going to play, so that's great. I mean, Metronome often... How it came about, often as an artist, you decide to work on pieces on, you know, maybe where there's something you actually want to learn from the piece, or there's something you want to work on either harmonically or musically or rhythmically. And so Metronome was a desire by me to find a piece or write a piece that would sort of force me to get really comfortable with different divisions within a metric beat or within a, you know, a click. So I mean, it took a bit of time to write. I started out by going to my drummer's house, Larnell Lewis, and just tried to pick his brain on, you know, different rhythms and if I was thinking about it the right way. And then I ended up writing four or five different songs that were sort of similar to Metronome that we just listened to. And eventually I had to sort of put it all together and come up with something, so I chose to go sort of with the reggae feel. They often say in jazz or in music, as long as people can keep bopping their head, you can try almost anything. So I sort of figured if we could put a bit of a groove in it, at least people could still have fun with it. And the big surprise of that song for me when we did our CD release a few weeks ago was that almost everybody, it was their favorite song. And, you know, when I finished writing the song, I didn't have a clue as to if I should even put it on the album. I thought maybe it'd be too technical or, you know, too much of a cat and mouse game to keep the beat. But it ended up being most people's favorite song on the album, and I'm thrilled with that. I think it's great. I think it's also, it's a great challenge to try to, you know, throughout the song, the quarter note doesn't change, so to try to keep beating that quarter note out is definitely a bit of a thing to try to figure out.
Now, how's this work in playing? I mean, in recording, you have a number of different times to get it right. I mean, you can get it to the point, and I mean, I don't know whether you've done this, but I know other artists have cobbled together different takes in order to get the track exactly right. But beside that, how is this in terms of doing live? I mean, you've only got one chance when you're doing it live.
Yeah, it's tricky. Like, I mean, to be honest, we've now played it one time live. And so, you know, I think we did pretty well to get through it, but it is, there's sort of, possible pitfalls throughout the whole song. And it's a pretty long song. It's almost 10 minutes long. So there's a lot to navigate through. And the great thing about, our drummer Larnell is he's just really gifted in his sense of time, and his just ability to stay absolutely solid throughout and not get fazed by any of the weird feels or switches. And he's one of, you know, Canada's greatest guys for that kind of thing. So even in the recording session, the recording engineer was just absolutely amazed by what the drummer was doing, because some of it, there's a few different, you know, one's going in 4/4, one's going in 5/4, one's going, and there's all these different beats in there, and I think without him we'd be toast.
Looking at all of that, and looking at, and you sort of alluded to this a little earlier, one of the challenges with instrumental music is that listeners don't have words to listen to kind of get the spiritual overtones that are coming through. And as you said, with some artists who are instrumental, you don't know that they're Christians, because that doesn't, you don't have that obvious, you know, lyrical stuff there. How do you work that through and in sort of impart that Christian worldview through in purely instrumental music?
Well, I mean, that's a great question. I mean, and maybe there's different answers for different people, but I'm always amazed. I'm so amazed when a concert and someone will come up to me at the end and say, hey, you know that song you played? Boy, when you were playing it, I totally felt it was this kind of song. It was sort of a journey of life, and I could see that sort of how faith intersects with the ups and downs of life. And I was actually blown away so many times by people coming up and somehow putting their finger on something spiritual when, you know, some people might just hear it as instrumental music. And so I guess I'm a big believer that our faith and who we are and who God is forming us to be, as we just sort of let that drive our lives and our decisions, I think a bunch of it actually just comes out in our music. I mean, I'm a guy who often gravitates towards hope in hard situations, and, you know, my wife would call me an optimist, I guess. But part of, you know, sort of hopefully why I'm on this earth is to bring sort of light and joy into hard situations. And I think when you have that theme in your life already running in the background and hopefully, you know, driving who you are and the formation of who you are, hopefully it just translates into your music. You know, even on Metronome, there's a few tunes on there, I think, that are fairly joy-filled. And there's a few songs on there that are a little more, like The Summer That Winter Was, might be a little more melancholy, but there's still this thread of hope that runs through it. Yeah, and I'm increasingly a big believer that just the decisions we make from day to day and sort of the people we're becoming, that just automatically goes into your music, whether you know it or not.
Well, I like it. And you quote in some of the background material to Metronome, you quote from Mark Buchanan, when we play, we nudge the border of forever. And that sounds like that's sort of where you're going with the with just the musical aspect of it as well.
Yeah, I love that quote. I mean, last year when I was writing this album, I'd just come off a really busy stretch, and I was reading a book by Mark called Rest. And just, you know, in my life, I was looking for more rest and quiet and not being always so busy. And when I read that comment, when we play, we nudge the border of forever, or, you know, when you see a child sort of in that zone of playing, it's almost like they're outside of the busyness of life, or outside of time, and they're just caught in that moment. And I think, you know, even as people who follow Jesus, we sort of get this whole idea of the best moments in life are the moments where we're most present to people, and the best moments are those where we almost forget about time or that we lose track of it. And so that quote, when we play, we nudge the border of forever, it's a lovely picture of, you know, encouraging us in life to go after those beautiful, wonderful times where we lose track of time, where nothing's demanded of us, or we don't have to create, or we don't have to be on, but we can actually just be who we are. So, I think this album, you know, that's sort of part of the background of it for me, is just a desire to not quite be so busy and scattered, but rather more present and just enjoy those special moments when they come.
Well, let's take a final break and be back to wrap up our conversation with pianist Mike Jansen. I'm your host, Robert White, and you're listening to Arts Connection on Faith FM. Welcome back to Arts Connection. You've been listening to Long Journey Home from the new Mike Jansen Trio CD, Metronome. I'm your host, Robert White. We're going to finish up our conversation with pianist Mike Jansen. Mike, looking at the CD and everything, what are you hoping that people are going to come away with as they listen to it?
That could be different for each person, but I hope it can put a smile on their face and that it can be the kind of album that they can, you know, obviously people often play the jazz, you know, with dinner going on or whatever, but I'm hoping it sort of brings that infused joy and delight in playfulness and, you know, having fun to people. There's also a few tunes that are a little more with the strings, are, you know, a little more composed and maybe more mature or whatever, and I'm hoping those two will bring, you know, a sense of beauty to people. But I guess it'll be up to them to every person, you know, with where they're at in life, they'll intersect with music at a spot that you'll never guess. And so hopefully it'll do that for each person somehow.
Yeah, well, I know it's been one of the ones that's been in my CD player quite frequently lately. What's next on the agenda for you?
Next, I have a few gigs coming up. We're actually doing a few CD releases in the GTA. We have another one, June 6th, we're back at the Paint Box in Toronto to do another show, and a bunch will be for Metronome. June 7th, we're at New Life Christian Church in Guelph doing a CD release. And June 1st, we're actually at the Jazz Room in Kitchener-Waterloo to do a CD release there. So I have that coming up, and I've just started orchestrating. I'm doing a show called Reimagining Broadway with the Winnipeg Symphony and Sarah Sleen, and that's coming up in November. So I really have to start orchestrating that and get going on that as fast as I can.
Great. And if people are interested in learning more about Metronome or more about what you're doing, where can they get it?
You know, you can go to my website if you want. I just put a new website up yesterday. It's www.mikejansen.ca. Or you can do www.mikejansentrio.com. Either one will get you to the same site. So there's tons of information on there and videos and background and everything else. So you can check that out.
Great. Mike, thanks very much for your time today.
Thank you so much, Robert.
Thank you for listening to Arts Connection today, and thank you to my guest, Mike Jansen. And if you miss a broadcast or want to hear it again, look for archive programs on our website at www.selavministries.ca. That's www.selawministries.ca. And be sure to tune in next week for another look at where faith, arts, and Canadian culture meet. For more information on Arts Connection, a production of Selav Ministries, email robert@selavministries.ca or follow us on Twitter at @selav13. For Arts Connection, I'm your host, Robert White, saying good day and God bless.